Welcome to the Slow Style Home Podcast. I am so happy you're here. If you want to create a beautiful home that isn't cookie cutter or a trendy copy of someone else's, you're in the right place. And if you don't want to hurt your wallet or the planet to get one of those dream homes. And you can get started with my brand new quiz called Fix My Room. It's actually more of an assessment tool, but the word quiz, I think, sounds better because it's really easy to do. Just answer 20 multiple choice questions and you'll be pinpointing why your room isn't working, why it feels off, and why maybe your previous efforts haven't really panned out. Or maybe you're fairly happy with your room, but you want to make sure that your design choices are going in the right direction. Visit our website at slowstylehome.com and click on the quiz button right at the top. I'll tell you a little bit more about it later in the show. Now, let's dig into this week's episode. How do you create a home that reflects who you are and inspires you to become the person you want to be? Where do you start? What are the steps you can take? And how do you learn how to be creative and put that creativity into practice inside your home? If these are questions you're interested in answering, you're in the right place because right here, every week, we talk about ways to improve your life by paying attention to the spaces you're living in. So welcome to the Style Matters podcast brought to you by Little Yellow Couch. I'm Zandra, your host, and I'm excited to share with you my slow style approach to creating a home you love, along with some really inspiring interviews with some of the best designers working in interiors. Before I introduce our guest today, I want to know, do you know what day it is? If you're listening on the day that this airs, which is Monday, January 10th, then you still have today plus three more days to sign up for the Slow Style Society. That's our monthly membership where I give you ongoing guidance when it comes to developing your signature style and creating a home you love. It includes monthly projects that are designed to help you develop creativity, put design principles into action, and make the most of what you already have by teaching you how to mix it all together. But you only have through this Thursday, January 13th, to sign up because that's when the doors close. So if you've been looking for a way to affordably pull your home together so that it looks beautiful and works beautifully, I'd love for you to grab onto this opportunity. There's a lot of information about it on the sign-up page. Just go to littleyellowcouch.com and click on membership at the top. But there's one more opportunity that I want to mention here, and if you'd really like to make sure that the Slow Style framework that I teach inside the membership is going to work for you in your home, there's one more free workshop left that you can attend, and that will lay it all out for you. It's called Uncover Your Signature Style, and the last chance to do that is tomorrow, Tuesday, January 11th at 2 p.m., Go ahead and sign up for that right now. Again, littleyellowcouch.com, click on workshop. But if you're listening to this later in the week, go to littleyellowcouch.com and click on membership to join the Slow Style Society, which again is only available through Thursday, January 13th. I would love to welcome you into the society. I'd love to have you on board and help you get started today. Okay, let's get on with my introduction of today's guest. Now, I want to prepare you for a delightful accent that's coming your way, because guess what? I've got my first Australian designer on the show today. Of course, if you're from Australia, then she'll just sound like normal speech. But anyway, yes, I have wanted to interview many Australian designers, but I haven't been able to make the difference in time zones work until now. You're about to hear my conversation with Jen Kingwell, fabric and pattern designer, quilter, and now author. She's just written a book called Quilt Recipes, and I fell in love with the gorgeous photos showing how her quilts are used in interiors. And we're going to talk a lot about that and what quilts do, what they represent, how they feel, what they do to a room, what they do to our emotions. It's a really great conversation. Not only can you follow her patterns and design ideas to make your own quilts from her book, she also includes recipes from her mom, who was a terrific baker. And when you think about it, it's the perfect combination for a cozy winter day, curling up with a soft handmade quilt and a sweet treat. You'll have to check out the photos on the show notes page of this episode to really get a sense of the feeling that I'm talking about that this book has inspired in me. Okay, here's Jen. Jen Kingwell, welcome to the Style Matters podcast. I'm so excited to talk about your book because it makes me want to start a sewing project. It makes me want to bake something sweet and salty and curl up on a homemade quilt while eating this home-baked snack and drink a cup of coffee. And the book embodies how I want my home to feel. So congratulations. I think you've done such a beautiful job.
Thank you so much for having me. And it's so lovely to hear that you like the book. It is something that I dreamt about writing for, 10 years plus. I talked about it and I'd, run the idea past people. And then, there will be people that listen to this that know me that know that the wheels move slowly sometimes. I come up with ideas and then, they don't sort of come to fruition. But I think in a little way, COVID was probably the catalyst that, when it all started, I thought I'm not traveling for work. I'm not doing, I actually have some time. So, I could sort of concentrate on it a little bit. But I'm so pleased you liked it.
I want to jump right into your background. And I kind of thought the best way to do that might actually be by you telling us how you came up with this combination of topics, one being baking and one being quilting. They're both in your book. I mean, it's a little bit more heavy on the quilting end, but I'm guessing that for you, both of those things represent home. So what do those two spheres have in common for you? Why did you write about both of them in this one book? And I'm sure your background has influenced that.
Absolutely. Look, I'm a country kid. I grew up on a dairy farm. And I touch a little bit on it in the book, but I grew up in a house that, like, looking back on it now, was just a home filled with so much love and so many happy memories. My mother wasn't a crafter in any shape or form. She could barely, we didn't even have a sewing machine in the house, which is probably why I now still do everything by hand. But she loved to bake. So, my childhood memories are coming. We had a big old farmhouse, a big old farm style kitchen with a table in the center of it. And I would come home from school and Mum would have baked, that table would be just heaving with baked goods that she'd made.
Wow. And it's every kid's dream.
I know, but she would. So, we lived a long way from a town, or a fair distance from a town. So she would just go in once a week and buy produce. Mm. But the invention of the chest freezer, my mum thought that was the best thing on the planet because she could sort of do this mass bake on a day and then she would freeze things. Right. And she was amazing. Like, we sort of, my sister and brother and I always laughed and we'd say that, any number of guests could turn up on a Sunday afternoon and Mum would be able to put a spread on like you have never seen because she'd have all these goodies in the freezer ready to go. So right. I think for me, that sort of incredibly fond memories of baking just resonate with me so much. And so that's been part of my life. But then, I love to sew and to make. So I sort of explain it that stitching is my love language and I love to make things and give to people, where my mum baked. So if ever we went to visit someone, it could be from the birth of a child to, someone losing a loved one, Mum would give a hamper of food to them. So I sort of, I think of the two things as being so similar in that, every stitch you put in a made project is telling someone how much you love them and how fond of them you are. But my mother did that with baking and food. So that was sort of, for me, the thread that linked the two.
So generosity is something that you value clearly. And I love being generous in our own homes. And I love that feeling of welcoming people in and giving of yourself. And that all comes through so beautifully in this book. The photos are just gorgeous. I mean, like I said, the book makes me want to curl up on a quilt and just, you know, spend the day chatting with someone and not really doing much else.
Yeah. Just a little eating.
A little eating, exactly. In your introduction, you say that one of the things you wanted to do by writing this book is to bring the art of quilting into focus for interior design inspiration. And I thought that was really interesting because to me that means you sort of saw that something was missing in the interior space. So what do you think quilts bring into our interiors?
Look, it's probably not so much that something's missing in it, because I think interior designers and stylists do such a beautiful job. But I think it was more the opportunity of using a traditional quilt in that sphere was sort of a missed opportunity, really.
Okay.
Only because I love interior design and decorating, and I look at magazines and I follow so many stylists and things on social media, and I look at the fact that they'll pop a, you know, perhaps a piece of some sort of a throw on the end of a bed that might be a printed fabric or something, but it will just be one fabric. And I thought, what is it about quilts that stylists are not using a traditional quilt in that sort of field? And I eventually came up with the idea that it can't be purchased. It is something that's made, and stylists probably don't want to use it for that reason, because there will then be questions about where could I purchase that lovely quilt on the end of the bed. So that may be the reason. But I feel that, you know, a relatively traditional quilt can still look incredibly modern in the right setting. Mm-hmm. And also, we just have so many, like, the fabrics that are available to people to use now are so amazing. There are so many incredible fabric designers out there within the quilting field that, I just sort of think all those colours, all those choices that you have to make something incredibly beautiful and use, and it's functional, you know, it's
right,
you can absolutely use it as well. So that was sort of my idea behind it.
Yes, I really understand what you're saying, and I'm wondering if that could very well be true, that you really can't source that exact same quilt if a designer were to use it. But the people who listen to this podcast primarily don't work with designers. They are creating their own homes. And so quilts are perfect for that. We are striving to make our own homes feel very personal, very one of a kind. And that, of course, is the beauty of quilts. Whether you purchase them from a maker or whether you make them yourselves. And so I think this is really right up our alley, and I really encourage everyone to go get this book, because I guarantee that at the end of it, you're either going to want to start sewing, even if you've never done it before, or you're going to want to seek out some makers of quilts, because they just give so much depth to the spaces, so many layers to a room. And I guess that leads me to want to talk about the quilting projects themselves and how you put these different patterns together and how you understand how to create a beautiful field of mixed patterns, mixed colors. But before we do, I want to just go back to something you said about a traditional quilt working with modern interiors. And I also want to mention that some of your quilt patterns, designs are very modern to my eye, but could also work in traditional spaces. So before I forget about that, let me just ask you, how do you think that juxtaposition works? Or why, I guess, why do you think it works?
Look, I really struggle to answer that question. There's something about a quilt, and I don't know what it is, but there's something about quilting that it can override the time, really. There are so many beautiful vintage and antique quilts that you pick them up and there's a feel to them. I know mm-hmm. it sort of sounds a bit cliche, but I think the fact that someone has sat there stitching them, they sort of transgress time somehow. Mm. And it, for me, that I love that. Like, I've got quite a collection of vintage quilts that I've gathered over the years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just because I'm drawn to them, there is something about them. And my favorite one is just a three-color quilt. It's just made with three fabrics, but the last three blocks down in the sort of bottom right-hand corner, clearly the maker ran out of fabric, and there's just three blocks that are made with, you know, similar but different fabric. And that was the reason that I purchased that quilt.
Of course.
For those three quirky little bits in the corner. So it's just for me, I think, look, I've got this real thing about use things in your home that you love. I don't mm-hmm. necessarily purchase something knowing exactly where it's going to go in my home. I will usually purchase something, think, oh, I love that. Then I'll wander around the house and see where I'm going to put it. And I find for me, quilting is the same. I use the fabrics that I love. I don't necessarily follow any great rule of colour or anything like that. It's just if I pick two pieces of fabric up and I like them sitting side by side, I'll stitch them side by side. And that for me, and then in the end, because I love every fabric in that piece, I end up loving the piece. So
that's actually leads me to to skip over what I was going to ask you. I'm going to ask you a different question. I'm going to switch up the order a little bit because I, too, collect fabrics. I mean, I just cannot help myself. If I'm at a vintage show or an antiques fair and I see a booth that's all old fabrics, I have no project in mind. I have no particular, you know, window that needs new curtains, or I've got a gazillion throw pillows that I've already tried to make myself. I can't help it. And yet, a lot of those fabrics are just sitting in a bin, and it's like I'm a little bit afraid to cut them, to use them, because, well, what if I don't like the project? Or, you know, I'm not an experienced sewer or quilter. And so how do you think we approach the very beginning of a project, or how do you approach it? If you've got a pile of fabrics in front of you, how do you know which ones are going to stay, which ones you're not going to use for this project? Like, do you have a complete vision in mind first?
No, look, I never have a complete vision. Some quilters do. Some, you know, designers do.
Yeah.
But I like to call myself organic because it sounds better than disorganized. But I quite often will start off with one or two fabrics that I love that I know are going to be in that piece. And then I will literally audition other pieces. With them, and you know, and then I'll sit with it for a little while and have a look, and it, you know, and as I'm making things, there is the odd occasion that I will make a, you know, particular part and think that's not working, I need to add in more whatever. I use a design wall a lot so that I can stand back and get a really good perspective of how it's looking, and that I've got a good balance of colour and a good balance of depth of colour and all sorts of things like that. So I am very organic in my approach, and I just keep adding and subtracting. And I love scrap. Like, I love lots of different fabrics in one project, as you'll see in the book. But, you know, for me, that's the fun part, to always be able to put more in there. But you can, being a scrap quilter, I feel I can change how the project's progressing throughout the course of the journey. I don't have to have made the decision. You know, if I was only going to use three fabrics in a particular project, I have to know that those three fabrics are going to really work together. But being a very scrap quilter, I can actually, add and subtract as I go until I get a balance that I love the look of.
We'll be back after a quick break. I just want to jump in here for a minute and remind you about the new free quiz that you can take at slowstylehome.com. It's called the Fix My Room quiz, and I've created it because a lot of times when we're ready to change up a room in our homes, we get stuck not knowing where to start or what to do first. I mean, do you paint the walls? Do you come up with a different floor plan? Do you declutter first and then buy all new stuff? It's daunting. So the quiz is designed as a way for you to assess what's not working so that you're pointed in the right direction in terms of what to focus on. Everything else can kind of fall away. After years of helping others look around their rooms and identify the possibilities for big, impactful changes, I figured out how you can do this assessment yourself. The 20 multiple choice questions will ask you about how your room is functioning and how your style is developing. Then you'll receive a detailed summary from me about what you should tackle first. No more guessing and no more throwing money away or time. Again, go to slowstylehome.com and click on the quiz button right at the top. All right, let's jump back into today's episode.
Well, that's very freeing to think about that you don't. That's the opposite of what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say, no, I kind of plan it all out and then I piece it together. And this idea of a design wall. So you hang the, you tack up different scraps, I assume, on a wall?
Yeah. So what I've got is it's just made from insole foam and okay. It's attached to the wall. And then it's got like a covering on it that fabric will just adhere to. You know, you can put a piece of fabric up and it just sticks to it. And so I just sort of put things up there and stand back and, you know, have a look at how it's all looking together. And that's just such a fabulous way to start. Like it really, by stepping back, you do get such a good look at something, you know?
Right. Especially for something that's as big as a quilt.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about the projects themselves. If someone has just simple sewing skills, you know, straight lines, and not much experience with quilting, which project in your book would you recommend we start with?
There's a quilt in there called Dalesford that is, it's really just, it's like a giant log cabin quilt. So it's just strips sewn around a central square, and then you just keep adding strips around it. I've added a little bit more complexity to it in that I put a few little pieced blocks, what we call pieced blocks in there, but you wouldn't have to do that if you weren't confident sewer. You could literally just sew the strips around the central square and keep adding. So that's a nice, easy one. We're actually just about to launch on the 1st of Jan. We're going to do what's called a quilt along, just virtually. There are three or four of us on our social media platforms, and we're just going to be talking about making different projects and what we're doing and what fabrics we're using in them and things like that. So if anybody ever wants to have a little look at, if they're, you know, slightly interested in making a quilt, that might actually help. But
We will link to that in the show notes page for sure. So let's make sure I get that from you.
Also with it, I think, you know, there are going to be lots and lots of people joining in and posting things on the hashtag. So it would be a great thing if anybody was ever thinking about starting, or even just people interested in colour and fabric, to see all the different choices that the people, you know, people are going to make to along the way. So it'll be just a fun thing to look at. So
absolutely. And I just want to say actually to everyone that the very first time I ever sat at a sewing machine, and I literally had no idea how to use this thing, it was to make a quilt. It was to make a baby quilt for my best friend, her first baby. I had no idea what it was doing, but I had a friend who knew how to do this sort of thing. And what was so great about the quilt, first of all, because it was for a baby, it wasn't huge. So it didn't feel quite so overwhelming. And secondly, it was all straight lines. And so she just taught me basically how to use a sewing machine by making a quilt. Because it was all straight lines, it was not complicated. I learned so much about sewing. I mean, I don't think most people would think, oh, I'm gonna start learning how to sew and the first thing I'm going to make is a quilt. But actually, it worked out quite well. I basically fell in love with making things for my home using fabric through that one project.
It's a really good point, because people think of quilting as being, you know, tricky, but when you look at a lot of patterns, they're made up of all straight lines, and it's either squares or triangles that are put together in different ways to create a design. And then, of course, you can move on and do more complex things with, you know, circles and curves and all sorts of things. But a lot of sort of traditional quilts are made just with very simple shapes. And one of my favorite quilts ever, you know, is just a quilt made with squares, just big squares of different, your favorite fabrics.
Right.
Nothing more beautiful than just popping all your favorite bits and pieces in one, in a quilt just made from, you know, big squares of fabric to showcase them. So you don't have to make it tricky. You can really make a very simple quilt and it will be just beautiful.
Oh, that's so freeing to hear. It really is. And I hope people are encouraged to go for it and not to worry too much about the precision of it. I will say that your book, the different quilt recipes, as you call them, there's a wide range of skill level. There are some in there that are definitely for more advanced people. So if those of you who are quilters, you're going to find something in this book that's absolutely gorgeous. And then there's things that are a little bit more for the beginner. I also want to mention that there's at least one, maybe two pillows in there.
There are, and they're quite simple to make. And, you know, I do love, if I say cushion, I'm referring to pillow. We use the term cushion. But they're quite easy to make. And I think, like you were saying about doing a smaller project to begin with, they're a great way to start. They're also a great gift to make for someone, because you're not having to embark on a great big project. You can just make something small. But yeah, I really love to include a pillow pattern in everything I do, just about, because I just think they're so much fun for people, and they're a quick project to finish. And when you first start out, being able to finish something, having it so that you can get something done, it can be a bit daunting if you choose a really large project to begin with and you run out of steam halfway through and it's hard to get back into it. But if you choose a smaller project that's very doable, it does help.
It does. It does. And back to what you were saying in the very beginning about what quilts do for a room, the layers and the story behind it and that tactile, handmade feeling. A pillow, a quilted pillow, is really quite phenomenal for a couch. We are so used to seeing mass-produced pillows, and a quilted pillow would instantly transform an entire living room, I think, because there's so much story behind it.
That's true. And just to pop one in amongst the other, you know, pillows that you have just adds a little. And of course, easily change, you know, you can change things up so easily by, you know, making two in different colorways or whatever. And, you know, they're a day's, most times you can whip them up in a day and you've got something beautiful to look at.
Right. Absolutely. I want to move on to the baking section. There's one particular recipe that sounds amazing to me, and I wondered if you could describe it for us. It's the syrup-soaked orange cake.
Yes. All these recipes are favorites from, as I say, my childhood. They were all my mum's recipes. And she had this gorgeous little booklet that she used to put everything. She'd stick, if someone else had handwritten the recipe, it would be taped into this book. And she'd always make a note beside it of who gave her the recipe. And, you know, it's sort of like a little fond memories of all the different people in it. But the syrup-soaked orange cake was written on the back. I do not know where she got the recipe from, and it was written on just the back of a printed flyer. So clearly someone had just read it out, you know, told her what to do. And I laugh because she says it, and I've put in the recipe that you grind your own almonds. And, of course, now you can purchase ground almonds, you know, so readily at the food store. But it's just this beautiful cake that you just boil the oranges whole, and then everything just goes in a food processor and you make the batter and then bake it. Then when it's baked, you just pour over a hot syrup that soaks down. Mm. So the cake itself is not terribly sweet at all. It's quite tart because it has all the orange peel and the pith and everything yeah. is in it. But then you pour this sticky syrup over the top and it just sort of soaks into the cake and it's just delicious. So
it yeah. sounds so good and it looks beautiful in the book. So that is definitely one that I probably won't make it. My husband has become a baker, so I'm going to hand it to him and ask Fantastic. Him to make it for me.
Yeah, that's even better.
It is even better. Then I'm going to sit on my quilt and have my cup of tea. I also want to say one of my fond memories, I guess it's a memory, comes from my mother-in-law's house. And she is a collector of quilts. And I don't even know if it was intentional. I think that she's made some. I think people have made them for her. I think that she's had other family members that have passed some down her side, her husband's side. And she in the guest room, she would have on the top of this painted cabinet just a stack of quilts. And just that stack, I think about it often when I'm decorating, actually, because the stack itself, it made me feel comforted. It made me feel cozy looking at it. It made me want to take one down and take it into the living room and curl up and read a book. I don't know. The just the beauty of having multiple quilts in your home is so satisfying.
There is nothing nicer than a stack of quilts, I think. I just think it's the most beautiful way to display them.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really interesting that you say that, because we years ago lived next door to a gorgeous family with four little children, and I wanted to make the children all a quilt. And Kate, the mum, her house was incredibly modern, very clean lines and surfaces. Like, she didn't have a lot of stuff in her house. It was, you know, very minimalistic.
Right.
And she sort of said, oh, well, if you'd like to, you know, but I could almost tell by her, the tone of her voice, that I don't really want a quilt in my house.
Right.
You know, it was like
right.
that. But I thought, no, look, I am going to make the children each a quilt, just, and they can, she can put them in the wardrobe. She can do with them as she wishes.
Right.
She said to me afterward, you know, like after they all had one, she said, I never realized, she said, they are the first things they grab in the morning and they're the last things at night. And she said it in such a beautiful way. She said, I think my children know that every stitch you've put into that is a stitch you've put in with love. And they wore those quilts out. They used them and used them and used them. And it was such a, she said to me one day, you know, oh, I'm embarrassed because Bessie's quilt, it's, you know, looking pretty ragged. And I said, nothing makes me happier than the fact that she's worn her quilt out, you know. So that,
right.
that just means everything to me. But I think what you said is so true. They represent comfort. There's something about them that just, The word comfort really does sort of come to mind when you're thinking of a quilt. And if you've got a stack of them, it's, you know, 10 times more comfort, isn't it?
Exactly, exactly. I want to talk about why style matters. But before we do, I wondered if we can kind of segue into that by having you describe your own home for us. I would love to be a fly on the wall and just take a peek around your home. What colors would I see? What kinds of materials?
Do you know, I think in Australia, we decorate our houses in a very different way to other places in the world. Like, where I live in a coastal town, so my house is relatively modern, but it's mostly glass because, of course, we're looking at the view of the ocean. So there's not a lot of huge amounts of wall space. There's a lot of glass and, you know, very few people I know here in Australia would do a seasonal change of their decor. We just, that's something we don't do. We sort of put up some Christmas decorations. That's probably about it, really, in most people's homes. So my house, as I say, full of glass. Where I have got walls, I have artwork, and then quilts add the colour. So my walls are all just sort of like a warm white. There's lots of timber, natural timber. But, yeah, most of the colour comes from artwork and from piles of quilts.
So, Jen, this show it is an interior design podcast, but it's really more about how we live inside our homes.
Yes.
So how do you feel about the notion of creating a signature style? Why does style matter? And I know you're going to come at this question both as a homeowner, but also as an artist.
Look, I mentioned before, there's nothing in my home that I don't love. I think for me, it's, but my home is also incredibly user-friendly. We have, you know, I have three daughters and lots of friends, lots of dogs. We have a dog, and some people may be able to hear the new puppy.
I can hear the puppy right now.
He's been banished because he was getting a bit raucous. But because we live in a coastal town, we have so many people come to stay with us, like the girls' friends and our friends.
Yes.
And so my home has to be incredibly, I'm not precious about anything. It's come in and completely make yourself at home. So I think for me, it's about having things in my home that I love, but also nothing in my home is so precious that if something happens to it, I'm going to be devastated. I think I feel like you have to live in your home, like truly live in your home. And I sometimes look at houses that are so beautifully styled and I think I'd be too afraid to actually like be in that space. So for me, it's a combination or a balance of just getting that right so that everything's incredibly beautiful, aesthetically beautiful, but also it's incredibly user-friendly because nothing makes me happier than when people come in and kick their shoes off and just relax. You know, that for me is the ultimate compliment.
Well, it's almost like you're describing quilts themselves, I'm thinking. I mean, they are beautiful works of art. They're sometimes incredibly intricate. They are gorgeous to look at. And yet, you want to take it with you all over the house. Not just on a bed. I mean, you want to like crumple it up and put it on the couch and snuggle with it. And they're so useful and so practical, and you want to use them. So I think that a quilt seems to be a bit of a metaphor for your own home. It sounds like to me.
I think so. And then, you know, when you're done with it, it can go in the machine and have a wash and be ready the next day to start all over again.
Right. Jen, thank you so much for this conversation. I really, really love the book. I've been inspired by it. It, like I said, it makes me want to start a new project. So I'm very happy to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed chatting to you.
Well, that wraps up another episode, and I'm truly honored that you chose to spend this time with me. Don't forget that the doors close to the Slow Style Society this week, Thursday, January 13th. You can check out all the details over at littleyellowcouch.com/membership. Have a great day. I'll be back in your earbuds next Monday. Thanks so much for listening. I know your time is valuable, and I really do appreciate you spending it with me. And please, please, please take a minute to leave a review for Slow Style Home wherever you get your podcasts. It honestly does help keep this show on the air, and your feedback is highly valuable to me. Have a great day, and I'll be back in your earbuds soon. Bye for now.